Bill Jacobson, who is a professor, Stanford Law professor, and I'm sorry, Cornell Law School professor. Excuse me, Stanford Law. Where did I get that from? Cornell Law School professor. He is the publisher and the boss over at LegalInsurrection.com, and also the president of the Legal Insurrection Foundation, who handles this stuff from a legal standpoint, this kind of discriminatory and civil rights-based stuff. He wrote a letter about this, and he's joining me on the line right now, Bill Jacobson. Bill, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming on. So how did you find out about this event? Was it somebody sent it to you? Did you happen to notice it? Or is this like a whistleblower thing where somebody in the school system sent it to you?
Well, we have previously, and I think I was on your show, mm-hmm. filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education over a new teacher loan forgiveness program in the Providence School District, which is only open to non-whites. And we got some publicity about that. Yep. We filed a complaint. We're still waiting to hear from the Department of Education on that. And so people have reached out to us. I'm not going to tell you who tipped us off to it, but somebody alerted us to an event that perpetuates the problem of discriminatory conduct within the Providence School District. And it is an event, and you've just read from it, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to repeat that, but it is an event advertised as being specifically for educators of color. And it said right in the event announcement that educators of color are invited, mm-hmm. not everybody's invited, and they had a sign-up form. While it did not mandate you identify your race, that was one of the parts of the form, mm-hmm. and white was not listed. It was mm-hmm. only non-white entities. So, and it was supposed to be at the Nelson Center, mm-hmm. which is in Cranston. And so my foundation, Legal Insurrection Foundation, which is based in Barrington, so we know a lot about what's going on in Rhode Island, mm-hmm. wrote a letter to the Nelson Center, and we copied Providence, and we copied the Rhode Island Attorney General. And we said, hey, wait a second here. We're just calling to your attention that there is something called the public accommodations law in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And if you are a place that falls under the public accommodations, and clearly an event center is, mm-hmm. any place, any business that welcomes people is, you have to comply with the non-discrimination laws. And just in case you didn't know, because we know you didn't organize this, you may not have even understood what this is about, but this is being advertised as a racially exclusionary event. Mm-hmm. And we believe that that violates the public accommodations law. We didn't threaten anything. We didn't do anything. We're just calling to your attention. Now that you know what the event is about mm-hmm. and how it's being promoted, you need to consider whether you can do this under the Rhode Island public accommodations law. And we sent it to them, and we sent it to the school district, and we sent it to the attorney general. The letter was picked up by national media, Fox News. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the following day, Providence tries to change things. They changed the location and they changed the sign-up form.
All right, so the sign-up form now includes you can identify as a white person there, and you said the location's been changed we don't know why though. We don't know whether or not the Nelson Center said we don't want to do this, we don't want to get involved in this. Or whether or not they just moved it for another reason, right? We haven't. We reached out, by the way, to the Providence Public School Department. I got a statement. I'll read to you in a second. But you haven't been informed, have you, Bill, as to why they changed it?
No, right, I don't know why it was changed. I just know it was changed. So and it was changed right about the time that Fox News ran their story.
So they changed the form because they know. Now here's the issue: the event center under the public accommodation law is one thing. Does the Providence Public School Department have a major issue? Because as something that receives federal funds, they can't promote or fund something that's racially discriminatory, can they? Legally?
No, and that's a separate issue, though. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yep. The issue we raised is you're holding a public event, and you're holding it in a place that falls under the public accommodations law, mm-hmm. and that forum needs to understand what this event is about. Right. And then, of course, they switch locations. Whether this is yet another violation by Providence is something we have not addressed yet.
So this is something akin to, is this kind of in the conversation about the, and maybe there might be legal, obviously legal argument differences, but this is kind of like the gay wedding cake baker situation, right? I mean, that's kind of the argument is that would violate this law, that you have to be able to offer up services to everybody despite you know, color, creed, sexual orientation, gender identity, all that stuff, right? So it's kind of the similar situation. So in this case, that's the law you're quoting. Am I correct on that?
I'm quoting Rhode Island law. That case, the Baker case, was Colorado. I don't know what differences there were in the law, but this is it's kind of a similar concept.
Okay.
But I don't know if it is the same verbiage in the law.
Right.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Daniel Jeremiah here in the Prospect Stock Watch. You look at the draft order, who are you hearing first overall?
To me, Bryce Young. I don't think he's for every team. I like the fact he could go to Houston and play in a dome. It's warm weather, road games for the most part. That's an ideal environment for him. People ask for comparisons, and I said, yeah, if you left Aaron Rodgers in the dryer too long, you get Bryce Young.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
So in this case, it doesn't. So, I mean, now that they've changed the registration options, adding in the white, does it? And if they, it's a different, I don't know where the, does it say in your letter? I didn't see in your letter or in the story where the, it's been moved to. Is it, what's the new location of the?
It's on their Facebook page. Bon, something like that.
Okay, so I would imagine that that's going to have to be, fall into the same level of law that they, Bon Nutrition in Washington Street and Province. So that's going to have to, I would imagine, fall under the same kind of legal restrictions that the Nelson Center would have come under, right? Or does that change in the registration suggestion now give them some level of cover?
I don't know about that entity, Bon Nutrition. I don't know what it is, but if it is a business that is open generally to the public, then I believe it would fall under the public accommodation law. So moving it, I don't think, removes that legal obligation of the venue to comply with the law. We haven't contacted BombBomb. As you know, because we spoke earlier, I've been traveling, so
sure.
I haven't been able to get another letter. Maybe they'll hear this interview and they'll get alerted to this controversy.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they moved from one business location to the Nelson Center to a different business location, I don't think changes anything, but I need to know more about what BombBomb is. And one of the reasons it doesn't change anything really is this is a public entity. This is the government doing this. That's what people have to understand. This is not Teachers of Color getting together and saying, you know, let's have an event for ourselves. We're going to organize. This is the government doing it.
Right.
And the government can't segregate students in school, and they can't segregate teachers in school or outside of school. This is an official government event.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a private event.
Well, they have, I think, covered their rear ends here, because I'm looking at the Facebook post that you just mentioned, and it says all are welcome to attend in the posting part of it. Right. So this is a situation where maybe they had been running afoul of the law, but then all of a sudden it changed their mind. Now, the public accommodation thing is interesting. Let me ask you, if would these places, no matter what the business is, the public accommodation, the public spaces, if they never discriminate against people, like if doesn't matter what the form says or what's been advertised as it, if they let anybody in that was registered, they didn't actually discriminate against anybody, they would still be legally liable for that?
Well, they could potentially be liable for the fact that they're holding an event which was promoted on a discriminatory basis. And again, our main focus is not the event venue, because these event venues are probably subjectively innocent. Okay, somebody wants to rent your space.
Yeah, you don't know.
Providence School District.
Sure,
you
I'll
know,
take it.
Do you know?
Right, yeah.
So I think, you know, to some extent, Providence School District put these venues in an awkward position. So I don't think where it's held, as long as it's a public place, as long as it's a government-sponsored event,
right,
as long as it is advertised as it continues to be, they may play games with some of the wording, but it continues to be advertised as an event for educators of color.
Now that, but that's a problem. That's a problem for the school district, though. Like the event, I feel bad for these venues. I feel bad for, because they're like, I don't know, a guy rented space,
right?
And if I'm not discriminating against anybody coming in, it's just happy, you know, whoever shows up. I didn't tell them who can show up and who can't. It's not my problem.
Yeah.
So the point of your letter was to let them know that there was a discriminatory event happening at their space, not that they were doing anything illegal, but just that they should know.
That they should know, and they should consider their obligations under the public accommodations law.
Right.
We didn't threaten to sue anybody.
Right.
We view the venues as innocents here, but you know, they do have legal obligations that we called. And again, I don't know if the Nelson Center looked at that and somebody said, hey, you can't do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is a Providence Public Schools problem. Mm. And if not the only problem they have the teacher loan forgiveness. Yeah. And we've received tips about other problems
yeah.
that we haven't gone public with. Of course, we always investigate things before we just write letters.
Sure.
And but Providence has a problem with their DEI programming. And it's not enough for them to say, well, we're in favor of diversity. Well, that's fine. Nobody's saying that's bad. In fact, that's Rhode Island state policy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it lawfully. And you cannot achieve diversity through racial discrimination. You have to find a better way to do it. That's the message that for some reason hasn't gotten through to the Providence School District.
It's kind of the antithesis of diversity. when you exclude a group of people because of their racial makeup, I don't know. It's a little odd a couple of days after Dr. King's birthday that we're actually having this conversation. A man who literally put his life on the line so that he could fight against segregation. We now have people under the auspices of fighting for the same sort of, you know, philosophical end, now advocating for discrimination, I mean, for segregation. It's so bizarre.
You put your thumb on the issue, which is this Ibram Kendi, who is the biggest proponent of what is mysteriously called anti-racism, when in fact it's actually just racism,
yeah.
who promotes the ideology that essentially of racial retribution, that because of past sins that you can now discriminate today. And the quote, I think, is, current discrimination is justified to remedy past discrimination, and future discrimination is justified to remedy present discrimination. I think I paraphrased it pretty closely. And so it is an ideology which is prevailing on college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's prevailing in a lot of school districts, and it is a racially discriminatory ideology which has now been injected into so many different school districts. And then you then get results like this, where you say you're promoting diversity, but you're excluding people based on their skin color.
It's bizarre. So here's the issue. What's the next step legally on this issue when it comes to PPSD? That's the major thing. Like, these venues, to me, it's interesting, but they're innocent bystanders. This is about the public school system, as you just mentioned. What can people do legally about this?
Well, I think it remains to be seen what they continue to do. Mm-hmm. I think it does make a difference whether they stop after this or they don't stop. So I think we need to sit back and watch it. And I certainly encourage teachers and staff in the system to reach out to us, Legal Insurrection Foundation in Barrington, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. We're just down the road.
Sure.
And, you know, we have contact forms at the website, legalinsurrection.com. And so reach out to us. Let us know. Providence School District needs to be watched. You would hope that there are people in state government watching what they're doing, but apparently not, because there are other things we've heard about that we're just looking into. But we know about the loan forgiveness program.
Mm-hmm.
We know about the segregated event they wanted to put on. Somebody needs to get through to Providence that they are not immune to the anti-discrimination laws just because they call something diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Now, the statement I got from the PPSD, that's the same statement I guess they gave Fox, is they wrote, Nick Dumming sent it over to me. It says, the Providence Public School District is committed to employing a staff of educators that reflects the community it serves. Events such as these are an important part of showing educators of color that they are valued, supported, and a critical part of success of students. The event registration form was updated to ensure that all educators in the district know that they are welcome to attend. That's what they said.
Yeah, well, this has nothing to do with diversity. You can honor educators of color. You could have a program, we honor educators of color. That's fine. But when you hold an event and you say only educators of color are invited, and the event form is a little bit of the tail on the dog, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because the event form is simply evidence of their bad intent, evidence of the intent to discriminate. The event itself is an exclusionary event. And now that they're opening it up, now that they've taken to heart our letter and their legal obligations, that's great. I would love nothing more than the Providence school system to stop doing what they've been doing now for quite some time, which is discriminating on the basis of race in various programming that they have and using diversity as the cover for that. You can achieve, there are lawful ways to achieve diversity and there are unlawful ways to achieve diversity, and they need to pay attention to that.
Bill Jacobson, thanks for your time. I appreciate the update.
Great, thank you.
Bill Jacobson, ladies and gentlemen, from the Legal Insurrection Foundation, and also a college law professor.
We're all juggling life, a career, and trying to build a little bit of wealth. The Brown Ambition Podcast with host Mandy and Tiffany the Budget Nista can help.
It's time for the BAQA, the BAQA, what you say, the BAA. Brown Ambition question answers. You have questions, we have some answers. We are not your therapist, nope. Not your financial advisor, your attorney, but we are two smart brown girls when it comes to money, career, business.
Brown Ambition. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.